Hi, welcome back. I'm Paul Gilday. You might have seen me on the previous module. And so I'm here with Edgar Bangaro. And today we're going to be talking about building cross-platform applications with Win.js. So Edgar, please introduce yourself.
So hi, I'm Edgar Bangaro. I'm a senior software engineer here in the Win.js team. Working at Microsoft for almost 8 years in different web services, such as what is now known as Outlook.com and OneDrive. Previously, I worked on the Windows Web Apps platform, building the framework that enables developers to build applications in HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. Most recently, I worked with Paul and the Win.js team in our effort to bring the Win.js library cross-platform and ensuring that it works well in every, like in Safari, in Chrome, in every browser, and in especially with Cordova applications. And then I'm from Colombia, so I will add Spanish to the list of accents that you heard this morning. So let's get started.
Yeah. So what we're going to cover today is we're going to cover a little bit about what's Win.js, what's going on in Win.js. We're going to do a little bit of a deep dive in some of these Win.js concepts, especially around our control model. And then once we've kind of learned those things, I'm going to hand it over to Edgar, and Edgar's going to show us a demo app that we built using Apache Cordova, Win.js, and we can kind of dissect it and show you the stuff that we've been doing to enable Win.js cross-platform. And so the first thing that we're going to talk about is, what is Win.js? And within that, I'm just going to give you a brief intro and show you kind of where our roadmap is. So Win.js today is a set of JavaScript toolkits. And we have two main toolkits. And the first toolkit is really around UI controls and widgets, specifically high-polished widgets that are centered around performance. And we believe that these widgets are great aspects to your application because we've designed them with both with all of touch, keyboard, mouse, accessibility built right into the UI components. On the other side, we have lots of infrastructure so that you can scaffold out your application. We have things like a scheduler that lets you schedule all of your tasks for your UI and allows you to coordinate calls across it. We have data binding. We have a promises implementation that's very compatible with the new ES6 promises that are coming. And we have pages infrastructure, so a lot of good infrastructure to actually build up your application. And so many of you might not know is that we actually started this back in Windows 8 and with Win.js 1. And so this was originally a JavaScript library that developers used to build Windows 8 applications. And so if you look at our timeline here, fast forward to April, this past April at the Build conference, we announced that we were with partnering with Microsoft OpenTech. Microsoft OpenTech released Win.js as an open source project, and we announced that we were going to take the project cross browser and cross device. This past September, we actually had our first cross-platform, cross-device release with Win.js 3.0, where we have a support matrix of a slew of desktop and mobile browsers. We worked heavily on making it modular and making sure that you could get it from your various package managers that you use today with all of the other JavaScript libraries that you know and love. And so that's where we are. In the future, you can kind of see what we're thinking about. And we're on GitHub, and we encourage you to go there and participate with us, issue pull requests, feature requests, what have you. We're really interested in what you, the developers, want to see in our library. And so with that, we're going to talk a little bit about some of just the basic Win.js concepts to get you up and running with a Win.js application. And so the three things that I'm going to touch on are, how do you kind of bootstrap your app with WinJS? Talk a little bit about the control model that we have so that you can instantiate controls and use them in your UI. And then we'll touch a little bit on data binding to kind of bring your application to life by marrying your data with your UI. Cool. So with that, I'm going to switch over to our try site here. And so since we went open source, you can see we have a nice plethora of controls, and Edgar's going to talk a little bit more about those specific controls. But here at the try site, we have interactive demos for you, and so hopefully I'll be able to code this demo straight up in our website. And so the first thing that I talked about was that we're going to talk a little bit about bootstrapping. And so, like many other JavaScript libraries, we have a ready function, which kind of abstracts DOM content loaded, document load, all that good stuff, so that you know that you're ready and up and running to run this application. We like jQuery's $ready, we have our winjs.applicationOnReady function. And so the thing that we're going to do here is we're going to start building a demo. And so here I'm just going to give this demo a title here, and we'll just say rating demo. And so here we're going to actually be instantiating rating controls. And so the first thing to know about our control model is that there's three key aspects to it in order to instantiate a control. And so the first thing is you need an element. Next is you need a constructor. And then optionally, you can pass an object of configuration settings for that control. And so what I'm going to do here is I'm going to create a placeholder element. And I'm going to give it a class name of rating so that we know we can select it out of the DOM for later. And so we're going to do just that. So here I'm going to create a variable. And then I'm going to use the query selector method to actually go to the DOM. And then we're going to find our rating element, and we're going to scroll that away into a variable. And so the way that we initialize this control is we just call new with a constructor. And so I'm going to initialize a rating control, and we're going to call new. And most of our UI widgets live in the UI namespace. And so that's just UI rating. And in our constructor, you can see that we need to pass an element, and so a reference to our element, as well as any options for configuration on the data. And so I'm going to pass that element that we selected out of the DOM. I'm going to pass an initial user rating. We'll set that value to, actually, we'll set it to 3 in the middle here. And then we'll finish that code. And so hopefully, we've instantiated a rating control. That's great. And so if you can see here, as I hover over with my mouse, you can see the tentative rating is giving me hover feedback. I can click on each of the stars to commit that user rating. I can also, if I move the mouse here, I can keyboard around to use keyboard to set that tentative rating, press enter to commit that as well. Also, you notice as I touch on the screen here, I can set ratings, and I can also scrub over top of that. And so this is just an example of the type of care that we've put into all of our controls to ensure that we have the right input modality support. So you can take a WinJS control from a phone, scale it up to a tablet, to a desktop PC, and then scale that across other devices that may or may not have keyboards and mice attached to them, or touch-first devices such as your Android and your iOS devices. So that's pretty cool. Awesome. And so I showed you the programmatic side of how we new up a control. Like many other JavaScript frameworks, we have some declarative ways of instantiating controls. And so I'm going to do that. And so interesting enough, we're actually going to build on top of this. And so before I do that, let's look over at the HTML. And so the way that that I declare a control is the same way that I would do imperatively, is that I need an HTML element, I need a constructor, and I need options configuration. And so we decided to leverage the HTML5 data dash attributes to do this. And so I can type data win control, and then pass that the same winjs.ui.rating constructor that we used in the previous example. And then to pass in our configuration data, we use data win options. And we have a very similar JSON-like syntax to do that. And so I'll say user rating, and we'll set this to 2. And then on our script side, we need to process that that markup in order to instantiate that control. And we use that with the control processor, and that lives in the UI namespace. So if I type in winjs.ui.processAll. And so what this will do is when we call this, it will comb through our HTML document. It'll find all of the instances of our data win controls. It'll hook up our constructor with the options configuration, and then marry that with the HTML element that we're that we've attributed with these attributes. And so hopefully, now you'll see that we have still our same rating control with a rating of 2. I can also add in some more configuration just to ensure that this is live running code. So I can set a max rating here, and we'll set that to 10. And so hopefully on the output here, now you can see that this output is generating and instantiating our controls with the things that we want and we need. So the final thing that I was going to talk a little bit about is data binding. And if you'll see in our future sample that we do a lot of data binding in our application. We think this is kind of a first-class concept. And so we talked about programmatic side, the declarative side of control instantiation. And so we have similar concepts for binding as well. And so I'm going to choose to just kick off with some declarative data binding. And so we use the same data dash attributes. So I'll type in data win bind. And for our binding expressions, we can bind to essentially anything that's a property in the JavaScript domain. And so we think this is really handy so that as you become more comfortable with our binding system, anything that you can bind to, any property that you can set in JavaScript essentially becomes a bindable property in our binding system. And so in this specific case, I'm going to bind to the ratings, the user rating property. And the way that we do that is that there's a well-known property that we apply to HTML elements called the win control property. And this gives us an instance to our control. And then off of that, I can bind to a user rating. And so this expression is property colon source. And so we're going to pass in some data, and we'll show you that on the other side of the imperative side. And we're going to set that to our data and our rating value. So let's go back over into our script, and let's kind of set up some of our data here. And so let me click here, and we'll put this down here. And so what I'm going to do here is I'm going to create a namespace. I'm going to use WinJS's namespace define function. We're going to create the namespace app. Inside of that app namespace, we're going to create a context object. Inside of that context object, we're going to have a data object, and that's all we need. And so the interesting thing with our binding, like our control instantiation, there's kind of three key parts that you need to understand when using data binding. And those parts are, is you have some data object that could be an array, could be an object with properties on it. You have some piece of UI that has properties that you want to bind to, and then we wrap that together with an observable proxy that kind of connects those two things together, and then as you update that observable proxy, the UI will update for your binding. And so actually what I'm going to do here is I'm going to kind of preset some of this stuff up, and I'm going to have an event handler, and we're going to call this we'll set this up as our add one event handler because we're going to be changing some values. And WinJS actually has a nice little helper function here that marks our event handler supported for processing. And so if I, we'll leave this empty for now, but this will help us set up in the future. Perfect. Okay, great. And so now you can imagine after you've called processAll, which is an asynchronous method, so this returns a promise. And so once that promise completes, we need to go do some work. And so some of that work is that you can imagine going to talk to your data service on the back end, get some JSON blob, do a JSON.parse on it, and now you have some object model that you want to bind to your UI. And so in lieu of doing all that, we'll just bind to some static data. And so the way that we do that is we use winjs.binding.as. And so we're just going to pass this in an object that has a rating property, and we'll set that rating to 6 here. So actually, you know what, we'll set it to 1. So we'll want to show some of the cool binding stuff. Great. And then what we'll do is we'll export that as part of our data context. So if I do data, app.context.data equals winjs.binding.as of our data object. So we've now exposed that as an observable proxy. And so now the way that we wire up our declarative binding is with our binding processor. So very similar to our control processor is our binding processor. That lives in the binding namespace. And so I just call process all. And then I apply null here. So that just means, hey, let's do this over the entire DOM. And then I'm going to pass in that context. And so hopefully with all of the correct magic, when I hit output, we'll see if this actually worked. Great. It worked first time. Awesome. You'll see that we have our rating. Instead of statically defining it in our options in our HTML, and actually you can see, look, it actually overwrote our initial value of 2, and so we actually know that binding is actually working. Let's just do another small test just to ensure that it's actually working. So we're going to have a button here, and we're going to actually data bind to it as well. And so that's the nice thing about WinJS is once you understand that you can just bind to any JavaScript property, then you can apply these bindings not only to our JavaScript controls, but also to all of the intrinsic HTML controls as well. And so what we're going to do here is I'm going to do a datawin bind, and we're going to bind to the onClick property of this button. And we're going to bind that to our event handlers that we had in the previous context. And I believe I called it add1. And so I will just give this button a label. And so now if I go back into our script, we have our add1 event handler in our event handler namespace here. And then all I'm going to do here is update that observable proxy that we exported here. And so now if I just call app.context.data.rating, which is our rating control, or rating property, mind you, and if we just do a +++, hopefully when we run the output and I click this button, you can see the value of that rating control going up, which is great. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm going to do here is I'm going to end this demo. So this is the simplistic, basic kind of building blocks of WinJS. And now Edgar is going to take those concepts and he's going to expand those out to the various JavaScript controls that we have in WinJS and what he did in our Cordova sample to bring a WinJS application cross-platform. So let me switch back to the slides here to give us a little bit more context for everyone. And so now I'm going to hand it over to Edgar, and he's going to talk about all the fun stuff that we've done with the app stock sample.
Awesome. Thank you, Paul. So next, let's take a look at my screen. This is the application that we're going to be building. It's a sample stocks app. Many of you may be familiar with this UI. We actually released a version of this application as part of the Windows 8 developer preview. And now we are using the code to create a Cordova app now that WinJS is cross-platform. Something that I want to call out is the code is available in GitHub. So you guys can go and dig into the code and open issues or ask questions, and we will be happy to answer. So before we build this app, let's take a look at 4 main controls that are going to be the core of this stocks app. First is the list view. The list view control is one of our most popular controls, and it handles displaying large amounts of data, and it visualizes the elements of the DOM. It supports multiple layouts, grouping, edits. It handles all the animations when the data source changes.
And it handles mouse, keyboard, touch, all of those things too, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's one of the main controls. Next, we will be using a navbar control. One interesting part about going cross-platform is that when we were in Windows 8, we used to have these navbar commands using symbols from Segoe UI. And as soon as we went cross-platform, we decided to open source a web font that includes the main and extended set of icons. And it allows different controls, such as the app bar, the nav bar, to be able to refer to those icons and work in Android, in iOS, and in platforms that don't necessarily have the Windows SQL UI font. You can also use it in your own custom content, as this sample shows.
Cool. And that's, so now, that's on our GitHub, right?
Yes.
Awesome.
Cool. So now let's take a look at the code. This is the application running in the simulator. The main control here is the pivot control. Right. The pivot control has different events that allow the application to know whenever the selection change, and then we are able to display different content. It also manages making sure that there is only one view displayed at a time. The pivot control is, let's take a look at the structure of this page.
Right. But this is actually a Cordova application, right?
Exactly.
This isn't a web page. You're actually running WinJS inside of Cordova targeting iOS.
Exactly. You can imagine that you are able to use the Visual Studio to create the Cordova, right, the multi-device hybrid application, or you can use the command line Cordova create stocks app, and then in this case we are using iOS, so we created the folder structure using the command line, and then we reference WinJS. WinJS is, you can include, create your own custom build of WinJS, or you can include the entire WinJS. There is one mail style sheet that reference all the styles and rules for the controls that we'll be using, as well as the reference to a web font that we need for different platforms.
Awesome. So this is just a regular Cordova application using WinJS, is just like a regular JavaScript library.
Exactly.
Perfect.
So first, let's take a look at the main structure of the main, kind of like the main element of the index HTML. It contains a pivot control. The pivot can be configured to have a title, which we see like right here. Then there are different items. There is a watch list, there is a market section, and there is a news section. We will drill down later into the content of those items. You can pretty much put any content you want. In our scenario, we happen to put list views in the three tabs.
Right.
Below, we also see that there is functionality to add to search for different stocks and add it to your watch list. And then towards the bottom, we will see an app bar, which allows you to list all the commands that we will be using in the different tabs, like add, edit, delete. The markets has an option to toggle between list and grid. And we will detect in the pivot control when we are in a given tab and show only the commands that are appropriate for that scenario.
Cool.
So list.
And so the actual markup that you're showing here is using those exact same concepts that we talked about earlier, where you're using data win control to instantiate your app bar, you're passing it some data through the options. That's great.
Absolutely.
So all of our controls follow that same pattern, the same model. So if you learn it for one, it applies for all of the other ones that we have.
Correct. So let's take a look at at one of the tabs in this pivot control. So let's take a look at a simple one, the news one. You can see that we have a list view. Two of the main, as Paul mentioned, you can specify options.
Right.
For the control, so that when process all is invoked, it uses these settings. Two of the main ones for the list view are the item data source and the item template. The item template indicates what every item is going to look like. So for instance, in this case, we're using a news item template, which is defined here, and is using binding again. And then there is a title, which is this top section. And then there is a description, which is a preview of the article. The item data source, we use in this scenario a binding list, which is a proxy to a list. And it allows you to simply have data in an array and be able to do edits. And it handles sending the notifications to the list view to handle animations, et cetera.
Right, so we have observable objects and we can have observable arrays in WinJS as well.
Exactly.
And you could have observable arrays with observable objects inside of that as well.
Correct.
Cool.
That was a simple item template. You can go as complex as you want. In this case here, we can see for the watch list, it's using a watch list item template, which contains a canvas that is used to draw this chart, and then stock details, which is the section that includes all the information about this particular stock. And then we can see that this is just list. Great. So let's go down and let's drill down into default. So one of the main sections that I wanted to show about default is there is an event. You can get a reference to the pivot, to the main pivot control, and then there is an event that allows you to know whenever the user changed the selected tab, and it is the selection change event. So here, every time that we are getting a new selection, we invoke the show method in our three tabs. So we set up the structure of this project as we have one file for every tab. So all the logic for the markets tab is here, for the news tab is here, and for the watch list. So every time the selection change is triggered, we look at the selected index, and then we call the appropriate show function.
Right. So this is essentially the main of your application. This is your app shell that's going to coordinate all of the logic between each of your pivot items.
Correct. So every application needs data. That is what makes it exciting. And in this case, we built a small Azure mobile service that is going to return JSON. And then so we can, for instance, look at the get, that is get stocks info, get stocks history, get news, get market. The way that this works is we are using something called winjs.hhr, which pretty much does an XML HTTP request to a URL, and then it returns a promise with the data. And then we can use this data, and we can return it in the promise.
And so that's a pattern most applications are going to follow when they want to hook up to external services.
Correct.
Or hook up to Azure, and we're using mobile services as an example of how to leverage that.
Correct. So this in the screen right now, we have an example of the JSON object that is returned whenever we call get markets. And then we take that JSON object, and then we return it whenever the tab needs the data to provide it to the binding list that is going to be displayed in the list view.
Right.
So if we look at the news tab, we saw earlier that the show method is getting called in the news whenever we switch to the news tab. The first thing we can notice is the markets tab shows an app bar, the watch list shows an app bar with different content. The news one doesn't need an app bar, so in this case, we are hiding it. And then the first time that we get to this tab in the pivot control, we are making the call to get news, which, as we saw earlier, is a helper that returns a promise with items. And then we take those items, and then we push them to a binding list. As we mentioned earlier, the binding list is a proxy to a list. And we can see that the news, in this case, stocks.news.list, is configured in the news tab, in the news list, as the item data source right there. So that is great.
Are you passing the stocks context in through your binding? Is that, I'm sorry, it's through your options, that's right.
Right, the list view has an item data source,
right,
and then it's configured the data source.
Okay.
One other thing that we can also see, another interesting property in the list view, is the onItem invoked. Here we can see that it's calling this event handler, which we see here. So okay. One of the interesting things with Cordova is that you can use plugins to be able to access device capabilities that you wouldn't necessarily be able to call from regular JavaScript.
Right.
And then they do the abstraction for you, and then they handle every platform that it supports. So in this case, whenever an item is invoked, we are calling the URL that the, that particular item that was clicked. And then we open the system browser, as we can see here. Like, we don't have connection in the in this emulator. So let's go back to here.
And you use the Cordova plugin, because not all HTML platforms support opening windows on that specific platform.
Correct. If we actually look at the every time that you do Cordova platform add iOS, they generate an Xcode project for you that also has the same structure. And yep. You can actually see that in the case of iOS, that plugin added the CDB in browser, .m and .h files that handle opening, interacting with the native API right. that does the opening of the system browser. The markets tab is very similar to what we just showed. The only difference here is that there is a little bit of extra logic to configure the app bar. If we detect that the list is being displayed right now as a grid, we allow them to toggle and then display it as a lid. So we have some logic that invokes an app bar API called show only commands, where you can narrow the set of commands that we had initially in the app bar, all these commands,
right.
and then display only the ones that are appropriate for this particular scenario. When we go now to the watch list is the most complicated. No, it's not complicated. It's just a lot of more code because it does a lot. It handles retrieving the data, like in this show method, it handles retrieving the data for every chart, the historical data plus the info data, and then it handles edits. We can go ahead and say, oh, I want to edit the list and delete a particular stock. And then it also handles adding a stock. So we use, for this, we use a search bots control. And then if we look at the selected here, we have a suggestions requested event that gets triggered every time that we type something in the text bots. So we can go and look at the code of what we're doing in this handler. This handler gets triggered. We look at the query that the user is currently typing. We have a pre-generated list of recommendations. And then we look to see if there is one of these is a substring of the suggestions. And if they are, we go ahead and we add it to the suggestions list of the search bots control. Whenever a suggestion is chosen or a query is submitted by clicking on this search icon, we go ahead and call a handler called addStockHandler, which we will see defined here. This section is pretty much going and using, again, our data helper, getting the stock information, these details for this particular stock, getting the history data for that particular stock, using promises to join the retrieval of those two pieces of information.
Because those are two separate network calls that you actually need to coordinate together. So once you have all of that information, you can then update the UI.
Exactly. And then we go ahead and add it to the list, and then we persist it. Here we add it to the list, mm-hmm. and then we persist it to local storage, just the symbol, the TSLA symbol. That way, the next time that the user launches the application again, they have the customized set of stocks that they added to the application.
And then the list that you're editing, that's the backing binding list to this specific list view in the watch list. And when you did that, we saw all of those, you know, a fancy fade-in animation, and it pushed all of the other items down. And that was all done for you.
Correct.
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 And that's all done using CSS transform, so it's hardware accelerated, and it works across all of the devices that we could target with WinJS.
Correct. We can also take a look at this. As soon as we added the stock, we call this helper show appbar, which show this different set of commands. There is a handler for the edit that allows you to select particular items in the list. In this case, I'm selecting one. Whenever I click delete, we are going to see here that is this delete selected handler gets call. We are going and getting like the reference to that particular list view, this stocks list view.
Yep.
The list view has a property called selection, which allows you to get the indices of the items that are currently selected. So we go in descending order through those indices and delete them from the binding list, which internally is going to trigger notifications that the data change.
Yep.
And then the list view, if we do it right now, when I click delete, the list view is going to go ahead and play the animation and delete the item from the UI.
Yeah. Now I have a question for you. So a lot of the patterns that I'm seeing here is we're getting data from a server. We're wrapping that in some sort of observable collection. And then we're putting that in our UI. And so a lot of other JavaScript libraries that I've seen and I've worked with, and even in our own, we have this mm-hmm. concept of a thing called a repeater, mm-hmm. where you could build that same list view-like experience mm-hmm. You know, using HTML primitives like unordered lists and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. What does the list view give you that's different than just, you know, stamping that out with your own repeater?
Right. So the main, like, we always refer you to our main site that displays the list of the set of controls. One of the main assets that the list view, the main things that the list view gives you is the ability of visualization. You can imagine that you have a list of or a data source that has 20,000 items, and then we obviously don't want to displace all those 20,000 items in the DOM.
Right. If I used a repeater, I would have 20,000 items actually in the DOM if I was to do that.
Exactly. So one of the main things in the list view, which makes it more complex but at the same time more powerful, is the fact that it handles visualizing the data for you. So in this case, even if we look at this scenario, we actually have 8 × 20, 116 items in this list. When we start scrolling, it looks like we actually have them all of them in the DOM, right. But we actually don't. We actually only have, we calculate how many items fit in the viewport, and then we have extra pages, and we ensure that the panning performance is good. In addition to that, the list view also handles keyboarding for you. We want to make sure that all these controls are really high polished and they work well with touch, with keyboard, with mouse. There are other features in the list view, such as like reordering content. And one of the main ones, you can do groups. You can have groups in your list. There are the option of creating multiple different layouts. In this stock sample, we were actually using list layouts
and
grid layout in all the scenarios. But you can actually even have the option to create a custom layout. And then the list view also handles animations for you whenever you change the binding list that is associated. When you use the repeater, you will see that it's stamping the content many times, but it doesn't necessarily give you visualization for your scenario.
Right, and so in your case, you thought to yourself, well, the end user could have as many, you know, stock favorites if they wanted to, and so you preferred the open-ended virtual UI virtualized list as opposed to stamping out, and you wanted things like animations, and so you were able to just drop that in, use our models, and connect that up to some data, and we kind of, the system or the framework took care of the rest for you.
Cool. Exactly.
Awesome.
Let's switch to the slides for a second.
Sure.
And let's go to...
Learn more? Awesome.
Yes.
So I think that concludes the demo. I mean, we could talk, you know, endlessly about the type of JavaScript controls that we have available to you, but we actually would like to encourage you to actually participate with us.
Right.
And so our call to action is really take a look at WinJS, go to our GitHub, file pull requests, issues you may find. If you're building a Cordova app, let us know. Let us know the platforms that you're targeting. We have a good browser matrix that we do our full-on, we do unit testing on every check-in to GitHub. But there might be some platforms that we haven't actually gotten to yet that WinJS might actually be running on. We just haven't had the time to test it yet. Right. But you may be writing your Cordova application targeting that specific mobile platform.
Right. We encourage you to go to our GitHub page. Again, WinJS is now open source. It's in GitHub. It is cross-platform. We're constantly creating many new different features. There are many exciting features coming in the future. Very recently, we added a content dialog control. If you have been tracking our commits, there was a split view control that went in the past week. So we really encourage you to use our GitHub page, file issues, ask questions, visit our Try Build WinJS site, where you can have a playground and see in action how all the controls work. And again, ask us questions. We're really happy to always triage every issue and answer questions. We also have in the references, in the slides, we also have link to our status page. Every time that we do a commit in GitHub, we actually automated the process of running all our unit tests in
Sauce Labs,
yeah. Which is an open source solution. So it's very exciting. Every commit, we ran all our unit tests for every component in IE10, IE11, Safari, Firefox, iOS, Chrome.
Yeah.
So it's exciting stuff.
Yeah, and the one last thing that we'd like to show you is that since Edgar's been doing everything in Cordova, and since we're actually just running an HTML5 JavaScript application, you can take that exact same code and deploy it to a website. And so here we actually have the Stocks app running full in a web browser, and this works across IE, Firefox, in Safari on Mac. And so this is really kind of the first look at doing HTML5 development, deploying it to web properties, deploying it to mobile devices using Apache Cordova. And we think this is really exciting. We're making lots of progress. And we would love to have you guys contribute, talk to us on Twitter, Stack Overflow, all of the regular spots for developer questions. And so with that, we're going to wrap up this module. And we hope that you you stay tuned for the next module. We're going to talk a little bit about more cross-platform development. Some WebGL is on the way. And so we just like to, on behalf of the entire WinJS team, we'd like to thank you and take WinJS for a try. Thanks.
Thank you.